This is the Inferno Podcast. It's the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place every week for an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode is brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Griffin. It is Season 2, Episode 4 today, and we're going to talk some volleyball, a lot of volleyball today, as we have the head coach and a star player on. Of course, the rundown today is brought to you by Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB Athletics. Well, we got the season opener for volleyball, as you see on the rundown. A couple of games, actually, later on today. So we've got volleyball season starting for sure. Head coach Betsy Freeburg bringing her style of coaching here at UAB in her sixth year with a very young team. So we'll find out about that and how she got into the sport of volleyball and landed at UAB. And then her best player, Jorda Crook, who's a junior right here from the Birmingham area, I guess, about an hour away, Ohatchee High School, who is a preseason unanimous selection for all-conference in the American Conference and a first-team all-selection last year. So she's the best player. She's the leader. We'll find out more about her as well. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You got to check that out, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, whatever way you get the Inferno Podcast, here's the list for you, and you can kind of check it out and see what's the best for you and the best way to check out the Inferno Podcast coming out every week. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get right into the Coach's Corner. Thanks for watching the Inferno Podcast. Hang on, we'll be back in a moment.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. It's time for Coach's Corner, brought to you by Pepsi and the folks at Viva Health. And today we're talking volleyball, and that's with head coach Betsy Freeburg. Betsy, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to be here today.
Yeah, you've got a vast career here, so I want to kind of start with you as a player because you were so decorated at Florida. Of course, Atlanta native coming up to play, but Florida goes to four straight postseasons. You're the team captain, won a couple of SEC titles, I think. So when did the interest to be a coach grow? Was it there or later or what happened?
Well, it's so funny you asked that. I luckily got to play for a female head coach, Mary Wise, who just retired after an amazing career at Florida. And my fifth year, my senior year when I was captain, I actually got injured, and we had seven freshmen on the team. Oh, and I was like, whoa, their interest in what they're trying to do is a little different at 17 than mine at 23, my senior year. And just really trying to get them engaged. Volleyball IQ was an important piece for my success. I was a little under physical, truthfully, for that level. So I had to use IQ to make that work. And so really a lot of mentorship with the freshmen, underclassmen, and I'm out of practice trying to help coach them up as I was injured. And Mary actually came to me and she's like, "You're going to be a great coach one day." Hmm. And I told her, "You're crazy. I am never going to do this. I'm never putting my livelihood in the hands of 17 to 22 year old women." And so I did it. And so I went into commercial real estate for a year, and about 10 months into that, I really started missing volleyball. It was volleyball season, and reached out to actually one of my assistant coaches at Florida, Sally Polhamis, who Another female coach wanted to know, like, hey, what's it like being a female in this profession? And then two months later, she gave me a call, and she was the new head coach at Georgia State. And she said, hey, come on, let's do this thing. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And so my coaching story is really blessed. So many people like grind their way through it.
Yeah.
And I kind of was convinced that this was the path for me. And I'm so thankful for the women that have really invested in me to be able to do this and be where I am now.
So was it a natural gravitation when you did that as a player, and they didn't have to ask you to do it? Was it kind of,
well, I just knew
you were a captain.
Right.
So you got that thought process. Right?
Yeah. I knew it was a captain. We had just been to the Elite Eight the year before that.
Yeah.
It was the number one recruiting class I came in with, and I redshirted. So all of those that actually a former Olympian now, was in that class. They all walked out the door. And I said, okay, it's my senior year. We got these seven freshmen. I want to make it great. Selfishly, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I knew investing in them was going to be a really important part to our success. And so that's where that kind of just started, I guess, naturally leading me towards this.
So what was the part that you thought originally that there's no way I'd be a coach? What was the part about that thinking that you resisted? And is that the truth now?
I think there's a little bit of both there, truthfully. I mean, it's so hard when your identity is wrapped in sports. And when I was a player, I saw it in some of our coaches, like being completely devastated with a loss. And even after a win, we as a team sometimes were like, okay, we did it. We did it. We didn't really celebrate it. It was kind of like that was the expectation. And so I think I was really hesitant to put my career and so much of my livelihood into that much big of an investment in something. And so, and that's something truthfully as a coach, I've had to work through that, you know, I'm not defined by our team's wins and losses or our successes on or off the court or what other people can say based on a record, because they don't know the whole story. About our team, about me, and about the program. And so I would say that those were some of the hesitations and some of the things that I'm continually to actively work through myself.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious, going to Georgia State was a little easier. That's your hometown.
Yeah.
Right? So yes. So if it weren't Georgia State, would you have hesitated to go, or you were all in anyway to become a coach?
Oh, no. I told her no like three times.
So you weren't even interested in going to hometown.
No. And truthfully, we moved from Rome, Georgia, to Atlanta my freshman year of high school. And so we were on the outskirts.
Right.
And I was like, this Atlanta thing is kind of big and crazy. But now I'm so thankful I spent my like mid-20s in Atlanta because it was awesome.
Yeah.
And so getting to spend time with my family during that as I was starting a new career path and just, again, having great mentors around me through that really guided me to the place where it was like, okay, I can move away and try a new experience.
Yeah. So Betsy goes to Samford. You win a couple of SoCons there, build a program, then I guess a phone call happens. Did you apply? Tell us about what happened here.
Yeah. So after the 2019 season at Samford, which was the best season they've had, won regular season and the conference tournament, we sat down, Ryan and I sat down as a family. We're like, okay, what are jobs that we would be interested in if they called? And I wasn't really truthfully sure I wanted to be a head coach at that time. But we went through, UAB was clearly on that list somewhere of like, yeah, we would take a phone call. Let's learn more about this opportunity. Yeah. And then May of 2020 rolled around. And that was a weird time, in case anyone here has forgotten.
I remember that.
But during that COVID time, I was trying to be like, how can I add value to the volleyball community through this? I got really involved with, as an assistant coach on the assistant coaches committee for the American Volleyball Coaches Association, was doing blog posts, mentorships. And I was like, you know, I think I want to be a head coach. That was in about April. And I got the phone call in May from Dan Carlson saying, hey, you know, we have a position open. Are you interested in this? And I was like, okay, I've got to just
trust and
start going through this process. And more I got to talk with the administration and think about staying in Birmingham, a city we absolutely love. And it just and play at a and compete and coach at a high level. Those were all things that led us to UAB.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, and you've had good success here postseason last 4 years and different things. But let's talk about, because your philosophy is you would love to recruit inside out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Meaning, for people that don't know what that means, as close as possible to whatever you got to do to get talent to try to win games. So talk about the state of Alabama and how you, it sounds like from your background, you're also trying to develop things. You're not just so focused on UAB. You want to develop the farm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think that seeing volleyball in the Southeast grow is something that has been a huge passion of mine. And starting with my family, my dad was one of the starters of A5 volleyball in Atlanta, which
oh, wow.
is now
okay.
the one of the best clubs in the entire country. And Atlanta volleyball really took off after that moment. And so investing and being rooted where we are is something that's really important to us. And seeing the development of volleyball grow, whether that is through coaches' conversations or through camps or just inviting people in, has been a huge part of it. And then with the recruiting, we want to keep the best players in Alabama staying in the state of Alabama playing. One, it's a great thing for them to get to play in their hometown and be proud of that, or their home state and be proud of that. Also,
it has more meaning, right?
It does.
I mean, if you're playing at Nebraska, it may not have
right.
that kind of meaning.
And it also brings people that are excited to, like, I know that person. I can go
right.
cheer her on in person. And it just continues to bring and grow the game. Obviously, some classes aren't always like that. As the state of volleyball in Alabama continues to grow and develop, we hope that more and more of that happens. But we love our Alabama girls on the team right now, just as much as we love our other ones too.
Right,
but it is something that we fight hard for.
So how many Alabama on the roster probably? Is it 50%? Is it?
No, it's not 50. I think we have four players.
Okay.
Sorry.
Six.
Six players on the team from the state of Alabama.
Okay.
So three new additions four new additions in this freshman class.
Yeah, and one of them was the Gatorade Player of the Year
yes.
for Alabama.
Yes, so, Kenny Vaughn.
Yeah. So, and we know Jordan Crook, who's coming up a little bit later, all-conference, unanimous preseason this year, another homegrown Ohatchee High School. We'll talk to her in just a moment. Now, I know you're building the camps, and we're going to get to volleyball too, but this is kind of encompassing the story because I get the sense this is very important to farm those people. So your camps are very important, and they've just grown like nuts, and that's important to you for the future of your program. It has something to do with your job.
Yeah, absolutely. One, it gets players familiar with UAB and what we're doing and how we train and why we train. It also, our players get to work those camps.
Yeah.
And so they get to have impacts on these women in the community in ways that I don't even know if our players know how impactful that is. That was one of the reasons why I ended up playing volleyball, is because I got to see these amazing women I looked up to playing yeah. this sport that is so powerful and yet graceful. And I looked up to so many of them, and having our players be able to make that impact at these camps is a huge piece of it as well.
Kind of give me a synopsis of the team, what you see. It sounds like it's a little bit young, you know, and what you see so far after some practice.
Yeah, we have 16 players on the roster, and seven of them are newcomers. So
wow.
six freshmen and a transfer sophomore. So a lot of new, but the energy in the gym and the love of the game and the love of each other is something that has been propelling us through this entire season. This is the first year NCAA allowed us to start practice a week sooner. So there was a lot of drama around the volleyball world about that. And so we took our captains, Jordan Crook and Mia Reese, and we sat down before we made any decisions about when are we going to move practice dates up? How is this going to work? And we sat with them and we said, hey, what do you think? How would you think the team would respond? What do you think we should do? Should we start this practice? And they both looked at me like I was crazy. And we're like, we should practice. And I was
right.
like, okay, let's do this. That's great. You know, yeah. that your leaders are starting that. But, and the team has loved it. It's been so fun seeing them before trainings. They're actually in the gym, like playing a game by themselves
yeah.
and they're having fun and they're playing with joy and they're playing with love. And that is helping propel our volleyball too, because they're competing together. They are celebrating each other really well as we are doing hard things. Like what we're doing is really hard, showing up every day, making that decision to be challenged to get better. That's one of the things our staff is, I would say, probably pretty good at. I think that our players sometimes will be like, please don't try and make us better today. but I think that's something we're pretty committed to. And so holding that standard has been a lot easier when people are curious and people are excited to learn and people are committed to each other and the development of the team. And so that's been a lot of fun this preseason.
Betsy Freeberg, our guest, the head volleyball coach here on Coach's Corner. So, and I'm getting the sense that's what you liked when you were a player, to bounce things off a senior or a captain or whatever the case may be, so that they have their input.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Or?
Well, it's so different when there's ownership and there's buy-in. Yeah. And we don't ever want this to be like a top down. Eventually, I do have to make the decision.
Right.
And I have to make the decision for what's best for the program. Us as a staff do that. But also, it is really important for what is the best for the team. What's the pulse of the team? Our relationship with our captains is really important to us because of that. Because they know what's going on in the locker room. We don't really know that. We only can see what's going on at practice. But just being able to work together to say, hey, how can we do this together? We're on the same team. It's not us versus them. And we are living this journey together. How can we make it the best we can?
So what is the philosophy on scheduling, especially with a young team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And so schedule for philosophy, or our philosophy for scheduling, kind of changes based on what the needs are. With a younger team, we want to get them opportunities to compete hard, have success, and be challenged. And so there's a fine line between that, you know. And so we're playing some opponents that are comparable levels to us. We're playing some SEC opponents. We're playing a wide variety on our schedule, and we're excited for what that looks like. We're actually playing 3 days that are 2 matches in 1 day. And so our hope is that we're getting a lot of players in a lot of different rotations through that as we're gaining experience that's going to take us into the American Conference.
I think you've been in the postseason conference every year, last 4, right?
Yes, every year they've had a postseason tournament, we've been in it. And so that's something we're really proud of.
All right, so this year, obviously a goal again, and to improve as much as you can.
Yep.
But the thinking on that was 7 newcomers.
Yeah, we actually set in the spring, our team sat down and set goals for this upcoming fall. We thought it was important to set that in the spring so that the returners could tell the freshmen in the summer when they're doing captain-led practices, when they're working out before we can officially start, hey, this is what we're working for. Get on board. And so we want to compete for championships. And it's go time was something that a lot of the returners in the room were saying, now's the time. Let's go do this. And I think that mentality, that determination has really led into where we are now, I think, for as far as team goes and culture goes. And it's really fun, truthfully.
I wanted to talk about the Alabama Showdown real quickly, because that is, you've kind of got a philosophy on that, improving that farmland, that state of Alabama. So kind of tell the thinking on that as well and when it is.
Yeah, so it is always the 4th weekend. So this year it is the September 18th, 19th, 20th. That's going to be at Samford University, so in Birmingham. But the philosophy was that's typically the last weekend before conference play for all of those different conferences. So we play Auburn, South Alabama, and Samford every year. It's them and us that make up that 4-team tournament. And so it rotates between the different schools.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's great because we got together as a coaching, like really the 4 head coaches, and said, hey, we want to do this. We want to make a marquee Alabama tournament in the state where a lot of people can come and support. It also keeps us closer to home, travel and things going into the conference season a little more manageable. And so it's a great tournament. We're excited about it, sleeping in our own beds, even though we're playing away. But we are really looking forward to that tournament every year.
It's good stuff. Betsy, we wish you great luck this year. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to talk to Jordan Crook in just a moment. But that's Betsy Freeburg, head volleyball coach at UAB. Again, the Coach's Corner brought to you by Pepsi and Viva Health. We'll take a quick break. Jorda Crook, a unanimous all-conference player in all-conference last year. She'll be joining us next.
If in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends. If you can keep an eye on your money along the way. If you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings. When you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life. Regions Bank embraces the if in life.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here, and our Blazer of the Week, we stay in volleyball. Jorda Crook joins us here, and she's a junior-to-be. Jorda, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate you hanging out here. Incredible talent, Ohatchee High School. She was all-conference last year for UAB, preseason unanimous all-conference this year. So kind of talk about that. The awards are piling in. Does that put any pressure on you, or you just play to your ability and let that fall where it may?
Yeah, I really just go out there and play, give it my all. I mean, the awards are great. Like, I love having that recognition and like being able to be like, hey, thank you to my team for that, for like helping me get to where I am right now to be able to receive those.
Yeah. So tell people listening about you as a player. What do you see if you were looking at yourself? Powerful, explosive, quick, you know, kind of go into that.
I would probably say all of that. My teammates tell me I'm really explosive. I do jump pretty high, would say. I do think I'm powerful too. I think I'm energetic as well, just a lot of the norm.
Well, that's a skill, right? Energetic.
Yeah.
You got to have it.
I think so.
All right, so you were like second in the conference last year, close to 3.5 kills. Mm-hmm. So there's an aggressive mentality you have to have, especially playing the net, right? So mm-hmm. So kind of go into that and how that fits you.
Well, I'm going to say my setter gave me a lot of opportunities to be able to get that. You know, I do think with me being able to jump high, I can see a little bit more because I'm not like the tallest on the court, but
right. They
always tell me in practice, like, hey, you're explosive, like, we need to get the jumps down, get your jumps, you'll be cool, all that.
So you have a basketball background and really good in basketball in high school, right? And it's similar jumping because you can gather and jump off two explosive or one. So did that help, and do you have a philosophy on how you gather before you explode?
I really don't have a philosophy. I think basketball did help me in the long run because I think I use my athleticism from everything I did prior to like just only playing volleyball to be where I am right now.
Yeah. And you said you focused on volleyball early on. When did you realize I got a pretty special skill here? Not that you weren't good in basketball, but...
I kind of knew probably about... 8th, 9th grade, I didn't really start taking it serious until probably the 10th grade when I started playing club volleyball.
Okay.
I played basketball since I was in, like, kindergarten. My dad was my coach for, like, the first few years, so that probably is a factor why I didn't want to play basketball because I played for so long. But, you know,
yeah.
I had two sisters who played college volleyball, so I guess I had to look up to them, but I did not start playing volleyball till 7th grade.
So it was around the house, volleyball, though. You didn't bring it into the house.
Well, I was young. My two sisters are kind of, they're pretty
older?
Much older
okay.
than me. So I really didn't, like, watch them for real. I was always at their games playing with the other kids.
Oh, I got you. All right.
I was just there.
I got you. Because my next question was going to be about your dad being a basketball guy, mm-hmm. and then you go, hey, I really like volleyball. Would that freak him out? But not if you had sisters playing.
Well, his thing, he really did not care that I didn't want to play basketball. He just wanted me to, you know, put forth the effort to be good at what I want to accomplish. So it wasn't just like, hey, you're going to play basketball. It was like, you know, you can explore everything, keep exploring, but I'm going to start you in basketball because, you know, I know a little bit about basketball. Your two sisters are playing, your brother is playing right now. Like, you know, it was just a lot of just building into a different sport and learning how to be good at that sport.
Right.
Yeah.
So I love to ask this question because something has to grab you about the sport,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're a multi-sport athlete in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So what grabs you about volleyball? What was that magnetic thing? And it could be on the court, off the court, you just like the game, or what was it for you?
I like to jump up and crush the ball. That is my thing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so, I mean, basketball, I did get to do, like, a lot more individually. But I do like the challenge of being in a team sport and, like, having to have a whole team around you to be able to win that game. I would say, you know, scoring a few 50-plus games, it was like, hey, like, that was really cool of you to do. And I was like, man, like, I'm just tired of playing. I want to go play volleyball right now. I was playing club volleyball at the same time I was playing basketball. So that just shows you how much I love the game.
Is it more team-oriented in volleyball, it sounds like, or to you?
To me, Yes. You can't do anything without that first pass. You can't do anything without your setter getting you the ball to, you know, hit the ball down on the other side. And then you have to play defense, start it back over, serve, all that. Yeah.
Is there anything to it that, not that if you had played volleyball the whole way up, that you'd be burnt out, but the fact that you did play basketball and you kind of started doing volleyball right before high school,
mm-hmm.
it's still kind of not new to you, but you know what I'm saying. You haven't done it for 15 years, right?
Right. No, I do agree. I'm not going to say I was burnt out on basketball, but I just knew it wasn't my passion.
Yeah.
You know, when you start loving something else, it's like, hey, this is going to be my passion. You know, at the time, basketball probably was my passion because it was like I was playing softball at the time. I really didn't, you know, it wasn't my favorite. It was like softball and basketball neck and neck. So I didn't have a passion at that time. And then when volleyball came into my life, I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to work at.
Any of it have anything to do with your sisters or not? Was it a pretty individual choice?
Yeah, I'm going to say my sisters had a lot to do with it because, you know, them coming to all my games starting from like 7th grade to my senior year to now, they're always there. They're always telling me like, hey, you can do this, like, this is going to make you better. And then, like, being able to, like, try and live up to what they accomplished mm-hmm. kind of helped me be able to, you know, do what I want to do personally and, like, just grow more.
Yeah. Have something to strive for. There's that model,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So if I said you had to have a model, it would probably be your sisters. That you would try to emulate and have those careers.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about your experience at UAB. What have you found? How did you choose it? You know, make that decision, because I'm sure I would expect you had some other places you could have gone.
Well, being from Ohatchee, Alabama, you know, it is a big change coming from, like, middle of nowhere. The closest Walmart, 30 minutes down the street, Target as well. It was just going from small town to Birmingham and then being able to call Birmingham home after going on my visit and, like, hey, I'm still only an hour away. I can go home whenever I want to, but I trust Betsy and Ryan. Like, it feels like home even when I'm not at home. Yeah.
And what a part about that? Just their acceptance, their personality? Or
I think their vision they had for me really, like, built me here. I'm going to say after meeting my dad, they were like, hey, I know what kind of athlete you can be. I want you to work and be that type of athlete. So I was like, yeah, this is where I want to go, and this is what I want to do, like, how I want to be better by coming here and, like, living up to that dream that they had for me.
So after a couple of years, that's a good decision as you look back,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I still get to see my family probably once every week if I wanted to, but yeah.
That's good. All right, so tell us about the teams you've been on postseason again and the conference, and how, because you're now in that time because your coach, who we just talked to, is, is big on the leadership thing. That's right. Part of her DNA. Does she have conversations with you about that? It's a young team this year. Is that got to be a natural flow for you, or what do you think of that?
So I feel like every year I've been here, we've been a young team. So so I don't think, like, this is really going to affect anything for anybody. I feel like everybody's meshing together well. Everybody's competing at, trying to compete at the same level as well. So going into the conference, I feel like building off of the first few games that we're going to have, like Bama, Samford, all those teams, like, it's going to be a good starting block for us to be able to compete at the conference, compete in the conference at a high level.
Is leadership natural for you? Do you feel like that's part of your role a little bit?
Yeah, I do think coming from a small school, I'm probably going to say I was probably the only girl who went D1 from my high school. So, yeah, I think leadership was a big role for me, like playing basketball, playing softball, doing track. You know, I was always, like, kind of taking charge because, you know, I feel like I just wanted to be good at everything I did. And I could push everybody else to want to be good and be better.
Okay. Do you see talent on this team to do some things and get better this year, and then maybe, you know, you got one more year after this? So
most definitely, I think this is going to be a special team. We have a whole bunch of people who can do a whole lot of different things. Like, I'm gonna say we're all different in our own ways, and that's what's going to make us a good team.
Very good. All right, that's good stuff. So now you got to get ready for lightning round.
Okay.
You're good with that?
Yep.
All right, so for this, we'll start off easy, and then we'll ease into some kind of maybe questions that aren't too bizarre.
Okay.
But I'm curious as to what your field of study is, what you like about that, and choosing that. What's after volleyball?
Okay, I'm majoring in digital forensics. I want to go into the FBI.
Digital forensics?
Yep.
So explain that.
Okay, so I think I'm good at, you know, finding stuff out. I can pretty much look up anything. You know, I can know something about anybody, like, quick. I feel like that's something that I'm passionate about. I can be good at doing that.
So CSI Birmingham is what we're talking about.
Hey, wherever the money's at.
So you can find facts digitally, and that's very cool.
Yeah.
And that's how everybody lives and breathes, right?
Yeah. So
it's kind of an important job. Has the curriculum piqued your interest? And obviously it has if you're still in it, right?
Yeah, I've changed my major a bunch of times, and this is what really, like, finally caught my eye.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So you're going to stick with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So. What grabs you about that, though? Do you like the investigation process of it? Or?
Well, my sister is in, like, she works in a prison. So, yeah, I think I kind of took after a little bit after her on that. But, yeah. I kind of like being able to say that I'm in the FBI, though.
And have one of those cool jackets with the FBI on the back.
And everybody be like, what? That's so cool.
Do you have hobbies outside of volleyball?
Yeah, I love to shop. I like going on walks. I like going to the beach. Anything, like, outside, that's pretty much me. Yeah.
Shop for what? Clothes?
Anything. Everything.
Whatever.
Yep.
All right. Dad. Sorry, Dad, you know, but you got the college scholarship. So
sorry, Dad, for real.
Yeah. If you could be an animal, what would you be and why? They get bizarre as we go on in the process here.
I don't know what type of animal I'd be. I want to be something strong, mighty, but, like, fast. I'm going to say I'd be, like, a Black Panther.
A Black Panther? I was going to say a cheetah. There you go.
Something sleek.
Sleek, strong, powerful, quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is how you play.
I like to think so.
Exactly. Do you have a favorite moment in your life on the volleyball court? And then after that, do you have a favorite moment in your life that's so special to you that maybe wasn't athletically or on the volleyball court?
On the volleyball court, I would probably say 24 kills against Mississippi State.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. breakout game for me. That's really where it got started for my sophomore year. Off the court, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm really not sure.
So 24 kills, putting that in perspective, if you average 3.5 a game, right? Mm. 24 is like Jordan scoring 75 or Kobe or, you know, whoever, right?
Right. I mean,
that's what we're talking about.
I'm going to say me when I play basketball.
Okay. So it's like you when you were at Ohatchee dropping 50 on something.
No way.
All right, so since you're in digital forensics, do you have a invention you would like to see happen or you'd like to maybe have at your disposal in your life? Or, you know, some people say I'd like to fly, or I think we had one of the football players say they wanted to have the ability of transporting where he could, you know.
We
should have gave you the list before we started.
Let me think. I'd probably want to be like a fly on the wall. I think I'm nosy.
A fly on the wall?
Yeah. I want to know.
That's not a superpower.
I think it would be great.
A fly on the wall, because you want to know everybody's business.
Mm-hmm. I'm nosy.
That's why you're in digital forensics, I guess.
I guess so.
Wow, you're nosy. So does the team have to be careful in the locker room? And
oh, no. I don't think they'd be talking about nothing special, so I don't be listening. I need the juicy tea. I don't think they have any juicy tea.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite food?
I don't know. Probably like chicken parm from Longhorn. Yeah, that's pretty good.
We're getting really particular. What's so special about that?
I don't know. I just think it's really good. It's either that or a steak.
Yeah, steak. Hard to beat a steak.
Yeah.
At all. As we end, so if you didn't play volleyball, what would you do? And don't say digital forensic scientist.
I would probably say I would be playing basketball right now. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If I never picked up a volleyball, I would be playing basketball.
You think
right
you could have been a college basketball player somewhere?
Definitely, yeah.
Ah.
Not to brag on
Betsy's
myself.
Betsy's breathing a sigh of relief that you chose volleyball. So
she probably is.
Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us, Jorda. We wish you great luck again. First team all-conference last year in the American Conference, and then unanimous this year, just a junior. So definitely a great career going so far. I wish you nothing but success as we go.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Jorda Crook here as our Blazer of the Week. We'll take a break and come back with more here on the Inferno Podcast.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. Get out there and tackle your financial goals with a new credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy offers multiple credit cards for whatever your financial objectives are. You can begin earning rewards today with a credit card from Legacy Credit Union. Legacy, the official credit union of UAB.
Welcome back to the Inferno Podcast. Scott Griffin here. And, of course, time to look at the schedule now for this week in Blazer Nation. Brought to you by a new sponsor, Children's of Alabama. We appreciate them believing in the Inferno Podcast. So a lot of volleyball here, as you can imagine. We just got through talking about it. And, of course, today the Crimson Tide Invitational going on. Had a game at 10 a.m. this morning. Also coming up 3:30 this afternoon, UNC Asheville is on the slate for that doubleheader. Also today, men's soccer at Clemson at 6 o'clock. That's a little bit later on as well. And the women's cross country competing in the Foothills Invitational at 6:15 coming up later today as well. Now, wait a couple of days. The women's soccer team will be on hand, taking on Southern Miss at 6 o'clock. And then September 1st, UAB men's soccer with the South Carolina Upstate, USC Upstate, on the slate at 5 o'clock as well. So some soccer and some cross country and a lot of volleyball as all those seasons right beginning and will be full steam ahead here for UAB Athletics. That's this week's look at Blazer Nation, again brought to you by Children's of Alabama. Well, that about wraps up Season 2, Episode 4 here on the Inferno Podcast. Who knows what we'll have next week, but it'll be entertaining and informative for you. We appreciate you watching. Until then, so long.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.